Bob, how are you doing?
Doing good, Brandon. Beautiful day today here in Kansas.
It certainly is, and definitely, obviously a day for celebration. It was 75 years ago, probably one of the largest celebrations of freedom as we know it.
Oh, it was tremendous. It was a tremendous end to a worldwide catastrophe here. Did a little checking in on numbers, and the numbers are just mind-boggling. It was the deadliest war in the history of humankind, with it's estimated about 55 million people perished in the war. So a great day to commemorate in that we had weathered the storm, and it was now over in Europe since 1939. So really great day.
Yeah, definitely is. Well, how is Fort Riley and the 1st Infantry Division commemorating this historical day, especially given our current situation with the pandemic?
Well, we've been doing a lot of commemorating via teleconferencing and video commemorations. My bosses in D.C. are doing a rather large video conference and marking this day through celebrations via the internet and YouTube and all those technological marvels we have today. But the Big Red Run really did provide a major contribution in a successful conclusion of the war.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. For those who maybe haven't brushed up on some of their history, I understand the 1st Infantry Division was well established in Europe.
Oh, yes, it was first over there. It went over in the summer of 1942 and remained there through the duration of the war. And then, when most of the units were coming home that had served overseas, the Big Red One stayed in Germany until 1955. And then it came back to its home here at Fort Riley. Since 1955, it's been its home here at Fort Riley. But just give you a couple of numbers that I kind of crunched the other day just to, in honor of this commemoration. A total of 43,743 American GIs served in the Big Red One during World War II. And of those 43,000, we have 17 recipients of the Medal of Honor, 161 Distinguished Service Crosses, and over 21,000 Purple Hearts. And it spent 443 days in combat while it was overseas.
My goodness. Those are impressive numbers.
I don't think any other, and I'm going to get in trouble here, but I don't think any other division in the United States Army could have numbers like that.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly a lot of battles that they were involved in. Can you name a few of those offhand? Obviously, the invasion of France comes to mind.
Oh, yes, the invasion of France, D-Day, that was biggie. But before that, the division had served in two other amphibious operations. It came ashore in North Africa in 1942, and then in 1943, it was involved in the invasion of Sicily. And then in 1944, it crossed the channel and assaulted Omaha Beach. Omaha Beach was the toughest of the five D-Day beaches, but it won through and advanced across Europe through 44 into 45. Took part in the Hurtgen Forest campaign. It captured Aachen, the first German city to be captured by the Allies in World War II in 1944, and then it took part in the Battle of the Bulge, crossed Germany, and ended up at Cheb, Czechoslovakia, on this day in 1945.
All right. And, you know, it was interesting, we read here this morning, this was the birthday for Harry Truman, so it was his 61st birthday when he got to announce to the American people that, you know, the war was over.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Although the surrender had a bit of a glitch, there was actually two surrenders. There was one by the Western Allies on May 7th, and then the Russians got wind, and they weren't too happy, so we had to do it over again on this day.
Really? I didn't know that.
Well, Stalin, Joseph Stalin was not too happy that one of his generals had signed the day prior. And interestingly enough, this general was put on an airplane and sent back to Russia and never heard of again. So,
my goodness. Well, as far as any commemorative artifacts you have there at the museum from this day in particular, do you have anything on hand?
Well, we have a number of World War II items. Probably the one that I would call one of my most prized pieces happened in the period immediately following the war, and that is the Nuremberg war crimes trials that took place in the fall of 45. And we have a Nuremberg jail door, and it's one of my most prized pieces there. It's on display in our temporary museum, but it will also be in the new remodeled museum also. But I know of only two of those doors that are here in the United States, one here and one in Illinois at the private 1st Infantry Division Museum in Naperville, Illinois. So that is probably, this is the bringing to justice all of those perpetrators of these horrendous crimes that occurred in Europe during the Second World War.
Hmm. And we're speaking with Dr. Bob Smith, director of the Fort Riley Museums. Again, today is the 75th anniversary of Victory in Europe Day. Now, Fort Riley itself was also a training center for many of these soldiers who were heading off to war.
That's right. Over 125,000 soldiers trained at Fort Riley. And those soldiers went to both of the major theaters. We had soldiers that went to Europe and also soldiers that trained there that went to the Pacific Theater. And it was just a major, major training hub during the Second World War. The wide open spaces that Fort Riley has were really great training areas for armored vehicles and mechanization that the American Army was really well known for during the Second World War.
Interesting. And I read, I think, also that Camp Funston was utilized. I don't know if it was utilized during the war or not, but after the war.
Oh, Camp Funston was the major training hub for these 125,000 soldiers. Funston also held a German prisoner of war camp during the war and had many thousands of German soldiers interned there. And that's a fascinating story in itself, and the German soldiers being held there.
Well, interesting. And a lot of them, were they tried here then in the States when they were brought over here?
They were the Germans. German soldiers were brought over here, interned here, up to 1945, and then most of them were repatriated. Well, all of them were repatriated back to Germany. But the really interesting story about the German prisoners of war is that they found Kansas to be really, really a great place to live and stay, and after the war. Many of them came back to Kansas and settled here.
So some people may be able to trace their genealogy back here to some of those.
Back to those. And some are some of those that did not make it home are still at rest. We have a number of Germans buried, German soldiers that had passed away during their time in the prisoner of war camp. And they are buried in our Fort Riley Cemetery.
Okay. Wow. This is all fascinating stuff. Well, we've got just a couple minutes here left. I just wanted to ask you, if the public wants to participate today, how can they do that through the Fort Riley Museums?
Okay. Well, they can check the Fort Riley, both the 1st Infantry Division Facebook page, the museum Facebook page. I might say that the museum Facebook page, we've been tracking the division 75 years ago and each day where it was and how it ended up and, you know, in what part of Europe it ended up. And we've got some upcoming stories here on the Facebook page. What's really, really interesting is in the week after the surrender. The 1st Infantry Division processed over 25,000 German soldiers that had come through the 1st Infantry Division's lines. And while processing those 25,000 soldiers, it also played a huge role in locating and helping displaced persons who had been displaced throughout the war and wanted to be repatriated home. And so got a number of sites there. But I suggest to check on the division PIO Facebook page and the museum Facebook page.
All right, and I know construction's ongoing there with the museum renovation. Is that progressing okay, even with the current health situation?
It floated a little bit, but we're still on track, and we're going to be ready probably early fall of next year. And I'm going to have you come out sometime because the construction is just about completed, and the museums are fantastic. They look fantastic. And the next step is now to start putting and planning on getting the exhibits in and all of the dioramas. And it's going to be a real showplace here in Kansas.
Awesome. Can't wait for that. I'm looking forward to that. It's on my to-do list. Dr. Smith, we sure appreciate the time, and thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. And Dr. Bob Smith, director of the Fort Riley Museums at Fort Riley.